This morning, I had planned on doing a whole thing of like God within our nation's history and with the founding fathers and the first presidents and things. But as I was preparing for the sermon, I felt like the Lord said, I don't want to talk about freedom. I want to bring freedom. And so we're going to look at some scriptures this morning, and we're going to, I believe it's going to bring freedom to all of our lives, because if we live in this nation where we are free to love God, but we are bound on the inside, it's not doing us much good. The Bible says, you know, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world, but he loses his soul? And so I just want to pray, thank you, Father. Lord, I thank you for this morning. I thank you that your presence, your power, and your goodness is here. And God, it doesn't just come to give us goosebumps, or to give us something to watch or to gawk at. But God, you come to do business with us, that we could walk out of here different than when we came in. God, I don't want to just come in your presence and watch, but I want your presence to have a lasting, forever change effect in my life and in those around me. And so, God, I just thank you for all that you have done and all that you're going to do in us. In Jesus' name. Sir, here in the blue, when I saw you come in, I caught a glimpse of you from my peripheral vision, and I heard the Lord say, get your galoshes on. The former rain is going to be greater than the latter rain is going to be greater than the former, that you are coming into a rainy season where God is going to rain blessing. He's going to rain down ministry. He's going to rain down effectiveness, where you have knocked on a door and knocked on a door and knocked on a door. The Lord says that seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added, that you knock and you keep on knocking, that the words that you, the seeds that you plant in the past, The land, it wasn't you, the ground that it fell on, the birds came, it was hard, it was dry, but the Lord is actually attracting to you those with fertile hearts, those that are seeking change. You gave your best shot to some folks, and it was all that you had. It wasn't on your end, but it fell on fallow ground, and I just feel like the Lord is bringing in a rainy season to water the ground of those even around you, that when you speak, you have no idea of the effect and the depth of which it will go into them and start bringing harvest. And so, Father, I just thank you for the harvest to come. Lord, I thank you for the seeds that he has planted, that, Lord, that they wouldn't be lost, but that you would bring them back around, but that you would attract to him those that are ready for change, that you would attract to him those that are ready for their next step, that they're ready for their next breakthrough, that they're not looking to just rehearse their same old thing, but that they're ready for something new. And so, Father, I just thank you for his life. I thank you for his ministry. I thank you for all that you have planted in him, that now he can begin to see a harvest from his own hands. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Does that bear witness with you at all? Okay. Well, I figured that. I don't want to pretend. Like, I'm not pretending here, but I figured that. But I just heard the Lord say, get your galoshes on. You're coming into a rainy season, and it's not a bad thing. It is a rain down of all things good. Julia, whenever you were singing, it doesn't appear that there's anything wrong with you, and I'm not saying that there anything is. But I just speak a word of healing to you from the very top of your head to the bottom of your feet. I felt like the Lord was breaking off shackles that were trying to hold you back from keeping you from being able to soar in song and singing and singing out. That there were things that were trying to hold you back in that area. And so Father, I just thank you that Julia is able to release fully and completely in sound, in song, in music, and in every way, everything that you have planted in her. And that nothing will rob her of that. Nothing will rob you, Julia. And so, Father, I thank you that she can sing as loud and as long and as hard and as high and as low and all things in between that she wants to go. And, Father, I thank you for those songs and the arrangements to begin to flow through her. Even in the middle of the night, that you would wake her up with little tunes, with words, with phrases. And so, Father, I thank you for what is to come in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. See, the Bible says not just to preach, but to preach with the power of demonstration. To preach with the power of demonstration. And so the Lord just, I guess, wanted that to happen first, to demonstrate it before we preach it. So this morning, let's look at James 1, 2 through 5. Don't laugh too hard when the scripture pops up. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go back and listen to Jeremy Hamby's scripture, because there was a funny part in there where he was going through a trial and the Holy Spirit used his wife, and she came to him and she said, "So what would it look like if you were to consider this all joy?" So consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all who, without finding fault, and it will be given to you. I want to point out, look at joy. Consider it pure joy. Have you ever had one of those moments where you're in a trial? You're in a situation. There's a relationship issue. There's a work issue. There's a physical issue. And all you can see is the issue. All you can talk about is the issue. All you can dream about is the issue. All you can think about it. Like you eat, sleep, dream, talk, live the issue. Like the people around you probably love you, and so they won't tell you, but they are sick of hearing about the issue. They want you to get a breakthrough just because they want a break from your issue. But then there comes this moment where you're able to kind of step back from it, like the clouds part, and there's like a clearing, and you can all of a sudden see it from a different perspective, and suddenly your viewpoint is totally different on that issue. See, Jesus is saying we can count trials as joy because he calls us to see past the trial. That's why you can see it joy. The problem, the boss that's a jerk, that is really threatening your career, he's threatening your ability to work, he's you know, pressuring you, he's pushing you, you know, that sibling or friend or relationship that's just tied up, you may not be able to see past it, but we can have joy in the middle of the issue because we know that on the other side of the issue, God has something good for us. So we can count it joy. We don't count the actual issue as joy. Faith does not deny reality. It just denies reality and influence on us. We have a greater influence that's Jesus that influences. So we don't have to deny the reality of it. See, I don't have to pretend like I'm happy that this thing is happening in my life. But I can, knowing that God has said that he will work all things together for good for those who love him and work according to his purposes, that this thing will not be here forever. I will walk through it. I will get through it. There is another side. And on that other side, God has something good for me if I persevere. See, there's a testing of our faith. It says, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith. Now, let me just make this really clear. God does not test our faith by making us sick. That's something that just people immediately go to. That's not him. God doesn't have to make us sick to test us. He doesn't do that to punish us. He doesn't make us sick. God doesn't make us sick. We live in a fallen world where we are fighting against principalities and dark powers and things, and those things come at us because we live in mortal bodies. But Jesus said that by his stripes we were healed. That's a complete work. It's done. And so he's not going to make us sick to teach us a lesson, but then tell us to go out and pray for the sick. That doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense. But sickness comes. Now, I'm not trying to speak a curse on us. And, you know, I would like to think that I would have enough faith that I could live the rest of my life, however long it is, and I'm never sick again. But the reality is, flus happen, seasonal things happen, accidents happen, sickness comes, but it's not coming from God. It's coming from my bad choices. It's coming from maybe some bad genetics. It's coming because we just live in a fallen world, and we there is an evil force. The devil wants to hurt us, but he gives us a remedy for it. He is the remedy. He is our healer. He is our provider. So testing of your faith is not sickness, okay? I just want to make sure we're there. But sometimes God doesn't have to bring bad circumstances into our lives. We live in a fallen world, and bad circumstances will find us. Again, I'm not trying to speak a curse, but I mean, you know, it just happens. You know, you're on your way somewhere and you get the flat tire, or you're on your way somewhere and someone turns into you and wrecks your car. Like, the bad things just find us. And so the testing of your faith sometimes looks like standing. Ephesians 6:10 and 18 through 18 is talking about putting on the full armor of God. It says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms." See, that right there also tells me that my neighbor, my coworker, my family member, they're not my enemy. God loves them, and he died for them, and his blood was poured out for them. They're not my enemy. This is the list of enemies. Now, the devil will be happy to use them. Every village has one. Don't be that one. Okay? Like, don't be the thing that tests somebody's love walk. Like, you don't want to be the one. Okay? "But therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes," doesn't say if, it says when, "you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, you may be able to stand." Sometimes testing of your faith just looks like you're standing. When all hell has come against you and you're still standing. Sometimes that's the testing of your faith. And that's good enough. And that's okay. And that's what he tells us to do, is you stand. Stand firm. I mean, how many times is he going to say stand? I think he's trying to get a point across. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith so that you can extinguish all flames and arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Like Carol said, if you're not in the Word every day, how are you making it? I mean, really, how are you doing it? And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. See, sometimes the testing of our faith looks like keep moving forward. that you just keep moving forward, that every day you get up and you decide, I'm going to take another step forward today. See, sometimes it's standing. Sometimes it's walking. And it's just one step forward. I'm going to take one step forward. I'm going to take one more step forward. You know, when I was a younger Christian, a younger person and a younger Christian, there was so much going on the inside of me. I was in my 20s. I just came from a very loving home, but a very religious home where we were taught the Bible, but without the faith and without the expression and the love of God. And so it left me very confused. And so I started living a double life. I would be at church on Sunday morning, you know, there, Sunday school, everything. But on Friday night, I was finding love wherever I could find it. And I was confused. And I was living a double life. And during my 20s, after I got here and I experienced the real Jesus, it took a minute or years for me to get out of it. Took a minute. We'll just, you know, use today's phraseology. It took a minute. Took a few years for me to sort of walk out of that, you know. But there were days when I was so, maybe it was an attack of the enemy trying to take me out, but I was having suicidal thoughts. I was having thoughts of self-harm. I had a lot of thoughts about harming some other people. For real, like a spirit of murder, no joke. And it was all I could do to get up in the morning and take another day and not end it. And it was all I could do to take another day and not drive my car off a bridge. It was all I could do not to just try to take a bunch of pills. But I kept moving forward. I didn't give up. I didn't stop. I didn't quit. Pastor Easy, Pastor Lee wouldn't let me. You know, Pastor Easy would grab me. He grabbed me one time. Pastor Easy, Kami, you need to quit around and you need to sit down and read your Bible. Yes, sir. I did, and it changed my life. Sometimes testing of your faith is just taking one more step forward, facing one more day. But here's what testing of your faith doesn't look like. Quitting. If you quit, it's almost like you go back to go. You don't get to pass go. You don't get to make your $200, you know, Monopoly. You know, it's like you almost go back. And you almost have to start over again. Have you ever sort of looked at your life and you thought, how many times am I going to repeat this pattern? Well, don't quit in the middle of the fight. Keep going, keep going, keep fighting, keep believing, keep standing, keep walking, keep going forward. So that you are a person of perseverance. Here's what Google says. Perseverance is the steadfast pursuit of a goal, or the continued effort to achieve something despite difficulties, failures, or delays. Can I get a tissue, please? It combines, thank you very much. It combines effort, patience, and a refusal to give up when facing adversity or discouragement. In psychology, it's considered a core character strength. Expert define it not just as grinding, that's a young people's term, like I'm just doing the grind, grinding through task, but as a voluntary, goal-directed action tied to passion and long-term vision, and that high levels of perseverance help individuals build confidence and resilience for future successes. If you want to have success, don't give up. don't give up. And that applies to a lot of things. Don't give up on your diet. Don't give up on the gym. Don't give up on school. Don't give up on your job. Don't give up on that friend that you've been sharing Jesus with. Don't give up on trying to pray for people for healing. And maybe you haven't seen a healing, but don't give up. Don't give up. Persevere through that frustration. Persevere through any discouragement. Persevere knowing that God has said healing is the children's bread. I'm a child. That's my bread. I'm going to keep eating it. I'm going to keep trying. I'm going to keep going. I'm not giving up. Don't give up. Because the scripture says, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. What if the thing you're struggling through, the attitude that you're trying to correct, maybe you lose your temper and you're trying to really develop some patience and you're trying to really see Jesus and not lose it so quick. Maybe through that relationship, and you're trying to persevere. What if God sees and has something for you in the future, a ministry, a family, an outreach, a blessing? But if you're not mature, you can't handle it. That blessing will crush you. You won't know how to handle it right. You'll get messed up. And so he's bringing you through the difficulty. He's bringing you through, not stuck, not staying. We're not going to build a rut that then turns into a grave and build a village around this and stay here. We're going to come through the difficulty by trusting and believing Jesus and all that he had said, because that difficulty is going to mature us so that then he can then promote us to the next blessing, to the next ministry, to the next outreach, to the next breakthrough. See, where I am today may not be able to handle all that he's got planned for me tomorrow, but this trial where I'm saying, God, get me out, he's saying, get through it, get through it, get through it, because I got something better for you, and we don't need to go around this little mountain again and again and again. How about we get you through it so then you can climb up to where I want you to be? And so that's how you can take all joy in the trial. Is the trial fun? No. No, it's not. But is it worth it? Yes. If you persevere. Or you can quit. You can sit down and have a pity party and invite all the little demons to come to your pity party and compound your problem. Walk away from God. Walk away from church. Go wait 20 years and, you know, do some crazy things and have all kinds of pain. And then you can come back to God and he will love you and he will forgive you and he will heal you and he will set you free. But by golly, guess what? You're going to come right back to that mountain because he still has these things for you. But he's trying to bring you through a trial to bring some maturity to your life so that you can handle what it is that he's wanting to do in you and through you and for you and with you and by you. And so really, watch what comes out of your mouth. Listen to what you actually say. I talk a lot. Shocking, I know. And I mean, stuff flies out of my mouth before my mind has a chance to think. Maybe not for some of you, but when this thing is running as much as it's running and all the words are coming out of it, there's going to be some stuff that slips out that I'm like, ooh, I didn't think about that before I said it. But listen to what's coming out. What is the number one thing that you complain about? Take a second and think about it. Is it my back? Is it this work situation? Is it this person? Is it some physical thing? What is it? Is it politics in America? Like, what is it that I'm constantly complaining about? Am I considering it all joy when I'm complaining? Maybe God will help me get through this trial if I change what's coming out of my mouth. And see, what's coming out of your mouth is coming from your heart. So that means there might be a little rottenness down in the heart somewhere. And so then, once again, how do you fix that? You get into the Word. You get into the Word because the Word washes us. It washes our mind. It washes our heart. It washes our motives. It washes our attitudes. It washes our reactions, those things that when somebody says something and you go, ah! You know, it's like it hits a button on the inside of you and it just makes you, it just knee-jerk reaction. Ding, 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 ding. Trigger point. That means there's something there that the Lord wants and needs to deliver you from. It's real easy. You know, you have to do all these trigger warnings, or you don't have to, but people do trigger warnings, right? Trigger warning. Okay, if you've got that many triggers that you need a trigger warning, you need some Jesus. I mean, seriously, if there's something triggering you, you need Jesus, and that's, there you go. There's your red flag. That's where you need the most Jesus, is right there. And so we persevere. And you may think, if God loved me, why won't he just take me out of this situation? Why won't he just fix it? But see, God sees in your future. He knows what he has planned for you, and it's for good and not for evil. And it's to bless you, not to curse you. He calls you the apple of his eye. He knows the number of hairs on your head. What he has for you is good. And so he's got to bring you through this to prepare you for it. Now, I'm not saying that there's not some times that we need to step out of a situation. Okay, let me just say right now, if there is any lady who is in an abusive relationship, you or your child are in danger, we will help you get whatever resources you need to get out of it, okay? There are times when you quit, because when I say don't quit, inevitably, the people who should quit something don't. Because they think, oh, I'm not supposed to quit, so I'm going to stay in this abusive job where my boss is harassing me or where my manager is pressuring me to do something illegal or immoral or wrong. I should stay here and I'll show them Jesus. No, find a new job. And then inevitably, the people who shouldn't quit will say, my boss wouldn't let me have the 3 hours off early that I wanted, and so I am quitting, and this is the 15th job I've had this year because nobody seems to understand me and appreciate my skills, and I've been here all of 5 minutes, and I haven't gotten promoted, and you haven't appreciated me, and I think I need to take a mental health day. Okay, so I mean, let's not get this twisted, okay? There are times when you need to quit. If you are truly being abused, and I don't mean, like, they get fussing at you because you keep being 5 minutes late every day. Okay, if you're 5 minutes late 5 days a week, that's 25 minutes in a week times four. That's 100 minutes in a month that you're late, okay, or more. Okay, then multiply that out by a year. That's almost a full 24 hours that you have been late and you have cheated them. They are paying you for your skills, for your effort, for your mental capacity, for you being there, and you are cheating them. And so if they fuss at you for constantly being late, that's not their issue, and they're not abusing you. You are abusing them. Love you. But, you know, if you're, okay, it is an extreme circumstance. I won't say it won't never happen, but it is an extreme circumstance where you should cut off your family. And it is an epidemic in this nation right now where people are cutting off family members. There are parents and grandparents who have not met their grandchildren because somebody got mad because they voted a different way, or they did or didn't wear a mask, or they didn't like what they said, or something else. And so there's this thing, and I've seen it in the psychology books, like where you need to protect your peace. They take Jesus talk and cut off your family. You don't cut off your family. Now, might you put some strong boundaries in there? Yes. I mean, I've had family members that I had to just flat out tell them, I'm not going to discuss this topic with you. But if you want to talk about this and this and this and this, I am happy to talk with you and spend time with you. But if you go into this, I'm going to very sweetly but and lovingly tell you goodbye for now. You know, the phone call will end. There are boundaries, but you don't cut them off. You don't cut them off. You don't cut off friends. You don't cut off colleagues just because you disagree about something. You might, like I said, you set a boundary. Now, here again, people who have no boundaries will not think that this applies to them. And the ones that are looking for an excuse to set a boundary because they didn't want to hear the truth of what somebody was telling them, you know, like, maybe you shouldn't wear the shirt that goes down to here and it's all open whenever you come to work, because then people get a little confused about, are they looking at the cash register or are they looking at something else? Like, you know, like, you don't want to hear that there's a dress code for work, or you don't want to hear that you need to be there on time and not be 20 minutes late back from lunch every day. Like, there's these, you know, sometimes people tell us hard truths, and because we don't like the package, or we didn't, you know, what was it there for a while? The meme was like, well, she may have been right in what she said, but I didn't like the way she said it. Well, suck it up, buttercup. They're giving you truth, and you need to take it on whatever way God wants to service to us. I mean, Saul, who turned into Paul on the way to Damascus, had a donkey talk to him. Like, a donkey got to tell him truth, you know? Some of the people in your life may be like donkeys to you, but they're still telling you truth from the Lord, and so you need to take it as such. But you can set a boundary, but you don't cut them off. And see, you may love your family, but you don't necessarily have to let them influence your thinking. If their thinking isn't aligned with the Word of God, okay. But you could certainly always give them the love of Jesus. Always give them the love of Jesus. And so the scripture says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work. Finish its work so that you may mature and complete, not lacking anything. And if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Ask for wisdom. God promises to give it to us generously. God, I need your wisdom. Here's one little drop. That's not how he is. He will give it to you generously. And so let's ask him about every situation. That thing that you complain about the most that you identified, how about if we asked him? Oh, big revelation here. Big download. Maybe we should ask him, how do you look at this situation, Jesus? Where does this fit in your perspective? God, what do you want me to do in me through this? God, how should I look at this? What should I do? Should I proceed? When do I take a step? In what direction do I take a step? Jesus, do I take a half step or a full step? Like, let's, how about the thing that looms the biggest in our mind? Maybe it's your bank account. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's, do I go to school? Do I not go to school? I don't want to go to school if God doesn't want me to go to school. But should I go to school? Because I really kind of want to go to school because I want to get a different kind of job. Like, maybe, what is that thing that is looming so large in your life? What if we asked God for his wisdom on that thing? You know, what do you want to do through me in this, Jesus? What do you want to do in me through this? God, I need your wisdom to know how to handle this. And so this morning, I felt like God wanted to bring some freedom to us. Freedom to stand. If that's where you're at, that's okay. Stand. If it's just taking that next day, I'm going to take another step. I'm going to take one more step here. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to take one more step. Maybe you quit. Maybe you thought, God, I can't take this anymore. I can't handle it. I'm not doing this anymore. I can't. I quit. Well, restart. Just to say, okay, God, I'm not quitting. Sorry, misspoke, spoke too fast. I'm not quitting, God. I'm restarting. He'll be thrilled. He'll be your biggest cheerleader. Maybe you're just in a place where you need to trust him with it. Jesus, I don't get it. I can't see out of this. I don't know where I'm at, where I'm going, what I'm doing. Jesus, I can't see anything beyond this, but you can. And so I'm going to grab your hand, and I'm going to walk through this with you. And I trust you to lead me wherever I need to go. See, there's a trust element to this. And we learn how to trust him. We learn how to lean on him. We learn how to depend on him. And so if you are in a place where you're struggling with something, I mean, who isn't? But there's something that the Holy Spirit has highlighted to you this morning. I'm not going to ask you to come down and pray for you, but I am going to ask you to stand. Because there's power in confession. The Bible says that we are to confess our sins one to another. Now, yes, we are also supposed to confess our sins to him, but he says confess our sins one to another so that because he is faithful to forgive us. There is something when we speak out those things that loom so big in our head that we think that are so dark, so bad, so evil, so dirty, so naughty, so wrong, that they have a power over us. And when we speak them to someone else and they don't act shocked, and then Jesus forgives us, it releases it from us. And so just standing is saying, there is something that has had me down. I've been too close in it. It's all I could think about, talk about, pray about, dream about, sleep about, worry about. And I need to break out of this. I need God's wisdom and perspective on this situation. And so if that's you, I'm just going to ask you to stand, and I'm going to pray over you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you that you are faithful. God, you are faithful, and you are trustworthy, and you are steady when our world feels like it's shaking, when things feel like they're out of control. Lord, you are our steadfast rock. You do not move. You do not change. And so, Father, today we just give these things to you. We give you all of our worry, all of our concern, all of our questions, God, so many questions. We give you all of our questions. Father, we release this circumstance, this situation, the relationship, the sickness, whatever the issue is, God, we release it to you, and we ask for your wisdom and how to see it. Lord, we ask for your wisdom and how to proceed forward. Lord, we ask for your wisdom and revelation from the Holy Spirit as what to do, what not to do, when to step, when to stand. And so, Father, I thank you that there are good things coming. You said you work together all things for good, for those who love you and work according to your purposes. And God, we're doing everything we know to do. And so we leave the rest to you. And so, Father, I thank you for new maturity, for completing the work in us. God, I thank you for all that you have planned for us, that it is for good and not for evil. It is for good, and it's for everyone, everyone. Gets in on that promise. It is for good. And so we give you all praise and glory. We leave that stuff here and we walk out with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.